This episode of Robin's Podcast is sponsored by Sensible Portions. Sensible Portions garden veggie straws are deliciously crunchy, a better-for-you snack that the whole family is going to love. Sensible Portions garden veggie straws have a flavor for every taste, like fiery, spicy, screaming hot, whoa, or tangy, zesty ranch. And they've just launched two new flavors, barbecue and sour cream and onion. Sensible Portions garden veggie straws have a light and airy texture, and get this, they have 30% less fat than leading potato chips, so you can snack both sensible and delicious. It's a perfect on-the-go snack for kids to take back to school. And Sensible Portions has also come out with a new product, Sensible Portions Garden Veggie Puffs, which are baked and never fried. It's a perfect poppable snack, and it comes in three delicious flavors: white cheddar, sour cream and onion, and screaming hot. Ah, no artificial preservatives, flavors, or colors. That's Sensible Portions. So head on over to Amazon.com/Sensible Portions to try Sensible Portions garden veggie straws and new garden veggie puffs. That's Amazon.com/Sensible Portions. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who's equally as confused as the goat on the AstroTurf. I am Rob Sestrino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. Today, we've got a great podcast episode for you, because we are going to be talking with Davey Rickenbacker from David versus Goliath. A big day for everybody from Survivor David versus Goliath. Just got announced that that is coming to Netflix. We are going to catch up with Davey about everything going on after the fifth week of Survivor 41, if you can believe that already. This morning, I got the chance to speak with Jeannie, who was voted out of the game last night after Shan didn't want to keep her moving forward. Really enjoyed my conversation with Jeannie. I think you will, too. I thought that it was very interesting in the exit interview. Jeannie actually contradicted something that JD had said in his exit interview from a week earlier. So I think that that's an interesting listen. If you want to go back and check out this week's exit interview, of course, it's always fun when we check in with Stephen Fishback after the episode from Survivor Know-It-Alls on Wednesday night. If you happen to miss that one, always good to catch up with what Stephen says. We got a lot still to do after this podcast with Davey. I'm going to check in with J.E. Skeets from No Dunks and No Buffs, a basketball expert. Of course, Survivor expert, too. He podcasts about the season on a brand new Survivor podcast, No Buffs. We'll be checking in with Skeets. And then I will have Haley Strong on the feedback show. If you have questions for our feedback show, be sure to get them in at robiswebsite.com/voicemail for that one. And if you still have any questions after that, be sure to join us on Monday night at 7 Eastern when Kevin and Nigel will join me to take your questions from the patrons when we go live once again for our weekly Survivor 41 Q&A. We had a lot of fun with LaTanya Starks this past week. We'll be live 7 p.m. Eastern coming up on Monday night. You can join in on that conversation when you become a patron of Rob's Podcast at robhasawebsite.com/patron. All right, everybody. I'm so excited for this podcast today because I'm getting to speak with one of the most requested guests that we get here on Rob is a Podcast. Of course, you know him from Survivor David versus Goliath, but now we can call him Netflix's own Davey Rickenbacker. If you ask,
where is Dave?
He's on Netflix.
What's up, Rob? Oh my gosh, Rob, my mother loves that sound bite.
Yes. How is Hazel?
She's doing pretty good. She's made a move. She's living in Hilton Head now. So if you're ever in that area and okay, want to visit, you know, hit me up, let me know. She loves having visitors, and yes, she listens to the podcast frequently.
Okay, that's so. South Carolina, right?
Yeah, that's okay, South Carolina.
No,
yeah,
hey, Davey, I'm getting closer.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Dude, congratulations on your move, man. Thank you. Welcome to the East Coast. There's no confusion on what time I need to be on with you anymore. Mm-hmm. So I'm loving
back.
It, man.
We're back.
Congrats, dude. Congrats.
But Davey, first off, congratulations that this is just, we didn't have, you see this coming, that perfect timing that it just got announced today that Survivor David versus Goliath is coming to Netflix November 16th.
Dude, yes. I mean, and Rob, I have a little bit of conspiracy that I thought that we would be on, because when Heroes versus Villains and Kai Gaiyan was on, Netflix might have messed up. And for the cover art, they had Alec and they had Eric on the cover art. And I'm like, why? Why would that happen? So maybe someone at Netflix messed up. And yeah, and I just knew it. I knew that Micronesia and DVG was going to be next.
Okay, yeah. And so Kai Gaiyan and Heroes versus Villains, bye-bye. They're going away. David versus Goliath and Survivor Micronesia are coming to Netflix coming up. And that was one that, you know, when we talked about, like, what are going to be the next seasons to come up? I mean, your season was, like, such a no-brainer to be something that's, like, totally accessible for new viewers to come in. I thought it was too low even when we did the top 40 countdown of the seasons. And so I think that a lot of people, boy, get a cameo from Davey while you can, because I think that, you know, that all those Dave vs. Goliath cameo prices are going to skyrocket.
Yeah, man. I'm hoping that my TikTok followers are going to skyrocket as well.
Yes.
I'm only at about 2,000 right now. We want to get up to Lauren Ashley Beck's levels, you know?
Well, I mean, that is a very high bar to aim for, but that Davey has been prolific on TikTok. I was saying just before we came on that, you know, because I love to, you know, I'm going through, scrolling through all the time. Davey's got like a new TikTok every single day.
Trying, man. Lauren has been coaching me and telling me what to do. Mm-hmm. So hopefully with her advice, I'll get there and I can use that to leverage however I am.
Okay, I didn't know this. So that Lauren has taken you on. Of course, Lauren, is just completely on another level on TikTok.
Oh, yeah.
But Davey, so are you her protege?
I don't know if I can call myself a protege.
I mean, she's a Goliath of TikTok.
Yeah, exactly. She's the Goliath of TikTok. But, I mean, she knows what she's doing. She'll send me certain articles about when to post on TikTok and what hashtags to use. So she's trying to help me out. So I'm grateful for her for that. I was even on her TikTok live yesterday and I got some followers from that.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay. Great. Well, I mean, I think that you must be doing something right, because you're just like, you know, churning out a bunch of stuff. So check out Davey on TikTok if you want to see a lot of Davey. Davey, I'm really excited to talk to you about this season, because I feel like that, you know, one of the things that you talked about a lot when you came off of the show was that you wanted to see Survivor find an audience with Black people that it did not have before. And that was something that I really feel like that, you know, you were one of the first people I remember just like talking about that a lot, of like the thing that you wanted to see you come out of your experience was that you wanted to, you know, see more Black people get on Survivor. And then also that, and if you did got the casting right, then more Black people will watch Survivor. And I know that you were very heavily involved with the Soul Survivors and all those conversations with CBS. And I feel like you must be thrilled with how Survivor 41 has turned out so far.
Rob, I'm through the moon, enjoying the season, enjoying just looking at the cast and seeing people who look like me, people who look like other people, people we've never even seen on the season before. And, you know, when we were going through the whole Soul Survivors thing, you know, in the wake of George Floyd and all of that, you know, we got together and we said, we need to use this momentum to do something good and make some change. Jatia reached out to me and she, you know, I would say personally, I think that my edit on Survivor went very well. And that's why I tried to take, you know, kind of the backseat and the behind the scenes of helping with the Survivor diversity campaign, because, you know, I think my edit went good. But if I can help my counterparts, help those in the future when they go on to have a better edit, to have a better experience with Survivor, then I think I'd do some good. And so Jatia reached out to me and she said that Bachelor Diversity Campaign has a Twitter page. And she said, you know, why don't we try to do something like that with our Survivor Diversity Campaign? And, you know, her knowing that I have a background in social media and working with the CDC with my social media, I was, of course, elated and happy that she asked me to do this. So, Rob, the Survivor community is so cool, to where I have met fans that have become friends. And because I know some of these fans that have become friends, I know what they align with. I know what they specialize in. And I was able to kind of reach out to five or six fans of the show, black fans of the show, one agent of the show who, you know, would be able to help me with this diversity, Survivor Diversity campaign, because I didn't want it to be something that was just me. I wanted something that, you know, the fans could use and it wouldn't just be my voice.
Yeah.
So I reached out to these people. We've got someone who will Twitter search certain things where they can follow certain people. We've got a person who does a player of the week. We've got a person who does birthdays. We've got a person who specializes in Reddit. We've got a person who specializes in trolling the trolls.
So trolling the trolls. Wow.
trolling the trolls. So if I could put it into, you know, I'm a blurred. If I could put it into an Avengers type Marvel Universe thing.
Yeah.
Think of me as Samuel L. Jackson.
Yes.
Think of these guys as
Nick Fury.
Yeah, Nick Fury. Think of these guys as the agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., where, yes, of course, the Avengers would be the survivors. But think of these guys as the people, you know, behind the scenes that are helping, getting things done.
The mortals, yeah.
There we go, yeah.
So, Davey, you know, so I didn't even know that part of it, that you were really, you know, coordinating with the social media team. I didn't know the exact role that you had played in everything that, you know, the Soul Survivors were working on.
Yeah, man, I was in with it pretty heavy the first year, but, you know, kind of just showing them the ropes to social media and, you know, stepping in with when they need to speak and what's appropriate and things of that nature. So I'm not really that hands on with it now. They completely have it to themselves. They run it. They know what they're doing. I trust them. If they have a question, something, they'll reach out to me and I'll give them advice. But, you know, all in all, it's them. It's them completely.
Yeah.
So I got to give kudos to my team. They have wished to remain anonymous because a few of them do want to apply for Survivor. And Rob, you know, everyone listens to your podcast. So
yeah. Okay. All right. Well, we're not going to reveal any identities of the Shield right now, but okay. So that they're out there and they're doing great stuff. So, Davey, have you found anecdotally, like, has anybody that you've talked to say like, hey, I am finally checking out Survivor this season?
Yeah, man. Oh, look. Okay. So Rob, now I got to talk to you about my beef with Big Brother. Okay.
Well, that's one thing that you will learn when you follow Davey on TikTok. Davey, very supportive of the cookout, but does not love Big Brother as a general idea.
Okay, so let me break it down to you. All right, so, you know, in all of my extensive research with the Survivor Diversity Campaign and, you know, just living life with my friends, most of them are black, I have learned that a lot of black people watch Big Brother. And when I confront them on why don't you watch Survivor, some of their responses would be like, that's a white people show, or no, black people don't do that show. And let me just say this right now. There are no white people shows. There are no black people shows. There's just television, okay? Mm-hmm. There's no white people things, black people things. I mean, except for maybe square dancing. But, you know, all in all, television is television. And that's my beef with Big Brother. I think I take it out on them. The fact that so many people that I know watch it. And I'm like, why? How do you enjoy this? The past few seasons, black people have not been treated great on that show. Yeah. How can you watch that and endure that? But we've got Survivor. We've got some winners over here.
Yeah.
We've made some great things with Survivor. So I just couldn't understand the correlation. But as of late,
yeah,
you know, we've had some success with the 50% BIPOC initiative.
Yes.
And the cookout has done their thing. And we've got this winner in Xavier. And I'm very proud of them. So I will say that.
Yeah, that's interesting about, you know, I had never really, you know, thought of like, Big Brother has a, you know, more of a black audience than Survivor. Why do you think that is? I feel like that both those shows started at the same time. They're both on the same network. I mean, why did one really seem to capture a different audience than the other?
You know, I'm not speaking for all black people,
right,
but, you know, I think that maybe just the outdoorsiness of Survivor, or maybe the fact that BB has, you know, the 24-hour surveillance footage is on 4 days a week in your face. Maybe they market it better, you know, where Survivor is mostly a family show and BB is kind of, you know, geared towards the teenage fan base, a little older than that. Maybe. So maybe that's it. I don't know if, if we could, if I could do a term paper on it, I'd figure it out. But I think we're doing better now. Right. We're doing better now, you know, that we have this 50% BIPOC initiative. So I'm hoping that things change very soon. And with us going to Netflix, that's why I was so excited about us going to Netflix. I mean, David versus Goliath isn't in the 50% BIPOC initiative campaign, but it was a very diverse season. And it was great edit-wise. You know, we got to talk with a lot of different stories and see different things that we haven't seen in some of the other 40 seasons. And I really think that that type of thing, I mean, Kagayan as well. And I really think that, you know, Netflix is just right there in your face. Everybody has Netflix. And I really think that once we're out there, we'll get some people to, you know, be posting to their stories, posting to certain Instagram pages. And I really think that it's going to be great. And I'll talk more about this once we get into the season, because I feel like casting really did their job on picking specific people to gear towards this campaign.
Okay. Well, we could talk about that now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. Well, hey, man, let me just say social media is powerful. Okay. Yeah. There's its pros and there's its cons. I feel like, and kudos to Jesse Tannenbaum and the casting team, I feel like they purposely went out there to look for people who have social media followings, like Chantel, like Ricard, like Danny, who's an NFL, ex-NFL player, who are people of color, who, when they post these things, other people of color are like, really? Survivor? Mm-hmm. You're on Survivor? Oh, let me check that out. Because sucking them in, they've become a fan now. And I have just loved the way I followed most of them on Instagram. I follow Danny and Chantel specifically. And I follow Ricard on TikTok. But on Instagram, Chantel, whenever she posts, I'll go to her comments. And, oh my gosh, I get chills just looking at the Black people, at the people of color in the comments. Now, a lot of them are like, oh, we're only watching this for you. But hey, man, that's the thing. They think they're watching it for her now, but they're going to fall in love with Survivor to where they're going to start watching it for other people. I love watching Danny, you know, push his merchandise out there, and he's taking these pictures and they're on their story and in his t-shirts. So these people, they may not have watched an episode of Survivor in their life, but because they see someone who looks like them, someone who has a large following, you know, they're sharing the stories, they're sharing the pictures, they're buying the merchandise. It's going to be a wonderful thing. I'm through the moon.
Yeah. I mean, that's interesting. And I feel like that we talk about this more like with Big Brother, of like the people that are there, like to be influencers. But I feel like it's a little bit like the reverse of that, where if you like find people to be on the show who like have like the bona fides to be like a Survivor contestant, like on their own, but also like when they have that social media following, that it also, you know, creates this thing where, you know, they're not gaining like a ton of followers from being on Survivor. It's like they have followers already and they're telling their followers about Survivor.
I'm loving it, and I wish I could get down to the bottom of that. Rob, what do you think it is? Why don't Survivors get a larger fan base than the Big Brother?
I know that's another thing. So I wonder, is just, you know, Big Brother, I feel like that there is like more of the drama. Like, I kind of feel like that the type of person who follows Big Brother likes the 24/7. Okay, I want to know everything that's going on, and that's why I follow Big Brother. Where Survivor is more like a book, where you read a chapter and you close the book and you put it away for a week, and then, you know, okay, next week we're going to read the next chapter. Whereas, like, oh, I have to have all the 24/7 information. And I feel like that social media is like that too. Of like, oh, I got to know all the tea. I got to know all the. Got to see what's going on. Okay, who's dating who? What that are they doing sense. Now after the house? So I think that that's part of it. Where, you know, Big Brother people. Because there's so much drama that happens after the season, where I feel like with, especially like for Survivor, you get done playing and then there's very little drama that's going on with you and your castmates, you know, following, I presume, most of the seasons, because it's so long after we film that you're even seeing the show. It's not like that people are like getting into big fights and breaking up and dating from the show. So I think that that's, you know, less soap opera after the show.
Right. I reached out to one of the producers. Well, actually, I saw him in Vegas randomly. And I was like, man, why don't you guys give Survivor 24-hour footage, you know? Throw us on Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
He was like, you think you want that, but you don't want that.
Yeah.
There's just, he said that there's just so much downtime that it just wouldn't even be interesting. And the thing that, but I don't know, man. I think it'd be pretty cool. What do you think, Rob?
I think they should be doing a lot more with Paramount Plus. I mean, they have so much that you could do. But the thing is, all these Survivor scenes that we see in the episodes, they're all really highly produced with cutting back and forth and everything like that. It's not like you're getting security camera footage you might with Big Brother, where you could watch a scene play out. So it is harder for them to be able to put that stuff out there. But, you know, I love to always see the secret scenes and stuff like that. But I just feel like that they could give us a longer cut of the episode.
Facts.
Especially when they had the Edge of Extinction, where it was that was basically cutting into what we want to see in the episode. And they have so much time with them on the Edge of Extinction.
Dude, I don't know what's going on. I mean, with MTV's The Challenge, they put a petition together to get the All-Stars on there, and now it's there. I don't know, man. Maybe Survivor needs to throw another petition together and we get some people on there. I mean, use people like Lauren Ashley Beck, who has a TikTok following, to do some type of interviews over there or something, you know? Mm-hmm. Remember when Parvati was doing the after shows?
Yeah.
Do something like that. Or even you, Rob. Collaborate with you and have you over there. I mean, I don't know why CBS won't get on the ball there. It's like Paramount, MTV, CBS, they're all under the same thing now. So come on, man. Mm-hmm. Get with the program.
Davey, I know how you feel about Big Brother. Do you have strong feelings about the challenge?
Oh, yeah, man. I actually was a fan of the challenge before I was a fan of Survivor.
Wow.
Yeah, man. You know, I think MTV does a pretty good job when it comes to representation. I think they've always done a pretty good job when it comes to representation. And you know, I like the messiness of the challenge. Now, would I ever go on the challenge? I've been asked. But I feel like now in this day and age with the challenge, they only gear it to these Greek-like looking people, you know, these bodybuilders and all of that stuff. And that's why I applied for Survivor and not the challenge, because Survivor will take the able-bodied people, the real body types like myself, and you can go out there and do your thing. Where the challenge, I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, but I'm high up on the challenge. Yeah.
Davey, I follow your stuff, so I know that you are a big fan of Shan. Then correct me if I'm wrong.
Oh my gosh, that woman. I mean, and I knew I was going to be a fan of her just from the pregame press, and I could see that she was the type of black woman that wasn't going to go in there and try to be too cool. She was going to have some fun with it, like I tried to have as much fun with it as possible. And then I watched the episodes. I'm like, oh my gosh, she's also a strategic mastermind. She's a pastor. She's all of these things. And if this is the new era of Survivor, I think that she's in that number one spot for new Survivor legends. I don't know, man. Yeah. Hey, hot take.
I mean, certainly so far. I mean, she's had the most impressive run out of anybody that we've seen on the show. Were you worried for Shan at all last night?
Oh my gosh, I'm worried for Shan every episode.
I know. Well, you and I were messaging back and forth. And he's like, I just hope that Shan doesn't go out. And I wanted to say that, she'll be fine. And then I'm like, during the episode, I'm like, oh, I'm glad I didn't say to Davey. She's going to be fine.
Oh my gosh, dude. Let me see. How can I say this? I also respect Ricard's gameplay. I just feel like Shan and Ricard are too close of the same type of person. I feel like they're both alphas. And at some point, one of them may have to turn on the other. And I think last night was the first rift that could potentially drive them apart when it comes to making the merch. But I'm very thankful that, you know, she was able to make it. However, I don't know. I think that episode will be one of the episodes that's going to keep people up at night for years to come, whether it be Ricard or whether it be Shan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Shan, I just think has been, really incredible with, what she's done so far. But I feel like that she has something where it's, and I think that like the really great Survivor players have this, where it's not necessarily like that she's like the greatest strategist. Because I think that Ricard has been doing like a little bit more of like the wheeling and dealing on coming up with the plans. Yeah. But what she has, and I think it's the hardest thing, the thing you can't teach is that she has just like the magnetic charisma that makes people just want to like follow them to the end of the earth. And I feel like that when you talk about like the great, great Survivor players, I feel like that that's the thing that like links all of them. Whether you talk about like Parvati, Ceree, Kim Spradlin, Tyson and Rob, and Jeremy, like all these different players that just have like this, just like amazing charisma where you just want to be around them.
Amazing charisma, and then did I say charisma or charisma?
Charisma has it too. Yeah,
amazing charisma, and the fact that she is a magnificent storyteller. And I don't know if that comes from her being a pastor or what have you, but I think back to the tribal that Brad went home. And JD dropped that analogy about crystals. It may not have been the best analogy, but Shan picked it right up and was able to run with it. That ability to do stuff like that is just something that's going to take you far in this game. And hey, man, going to take you far in life.
It's so funny that like this group that she's been with, like we've seen this story like over and over and over again where people are like, okay, Shan, here's my life in the game. And she's like, okay, thank you. And kicked them out. And then everyone else, but no, she really, and I had a great conversation with Jeannie this morning where I had asked Jeannie about how like, Jeannie, did you feel like at all like or I asked her who was the person that, you felt most betrayed by? And she said, obviously it was Shan, because she felt like that even though the same thing just happened to JD, Jeannie felt like, well, she's not going to do it to me.
How do you get that skill of being so charismatic that everyone feels like you're their number one? Seeing these people give her their advantages again and again. Now, granted, she is doing the legwork, and she is acting and making them feel as close as possible, but I just don't see the logic in these people doing this. Wow, she's amazing, man.
Now, Davey, this isn't something that you can identify with at all?
I mean, I felt like I was that way with the David tribe. Most of the castaways from the David tribe, mainly because I could relate to them more so than the Goliath tribe. But I didn't really have that bond with many of the Goliaths. Mm-hmm. I struggled with that. And who knows? Maybe we need to see Shan with another tribe before we can tell if she can take that on. I mean, we did see her last night with Liana, and she seemed to have that same. That was probably a little more deeper than just, her charisma. But still, I mean, maybe we do need to see her interact with some other tribes. Look like we might do that next week.
Yeah, well, let me ask you about that conversation with Liana, because I thought that was just so interesting where it seemed like, and I wondered, had they been like vibing at all at like Ponderosa, like before the game? Because it seemed like it happened so fast where that they just both got there. And it seemed like that they connected over, hey, we're both black women. We're out here. We have to have each other's backs. And it seemed like that for Shan, she was ready to say, okay, forget about Ricard. This is the new person that I want to be working with.
Yeah. I don't know if we can coin this in the reality TV world, but now that we have the cookout, I guess we can start using it. That was a bit of that cookout mentality where, I had a little bit of that with Carl my first day, and they didn't air too much of it, but there was one segment where me and him were like, hey man, we're here, but we're not here. Meaning that we got each other's backs, but we can't let it out like we have each other's backs or else we'll be targeted. That's something that we're always, worried about in the back of our minds, which is so beautiful now because they have, the 50% BIPOC out there. So maybe they're not worried about as much as we are, but just to go back to Shan and Liana, Rob, I don't know if it's me playing Survivor, and it feels nostalgic looking at all of this stuff, but I was crying that whole segment, like tears coming down my eyes. So beautiful to see two Black women. We have not seen two Black women align per se since Saree and Michaela in Game Changers. I mean, we had Ghost Island with Dez and Laurel. You saw how that went. We had HHH with Desi and Allie, but they weren't on the same tribe. Of course, we had Cook Islands. Of course, we had Fiji. But this was the first time where I could look at this and say, wow, they are an alliance. They're going to look out for each other. And it's just a beautiful thing. All the way up to, and I tweeted this, when they were reading the rules out there, they read the rules together. It was almost like some sister-sister type thing, Tia and Tamara. If they have an alliance name, it's got to be sister-sister, okay?
I feel like the alliance names, I feel like that you guys had it in David versus Goliath. So I feel like it's usually more of a Big Brother thing, but we're not talking about them.
Right. Maybe that's something that Nick's got in my mind now.
Let me go back to Shan and this conversation with Ricard, because I thought it was so interesting. And of course, you know, in David versus Goliath, the Davids had all the advantages, and there was a lot of talking about, okay, I have this, I have this, I have this, and everybody sort of had their own thing at the point where the Avengers were starting to come together to take down the Goliaths. But here we had where Shan ended up, she had an idol, but Ricard had the extra vote, and Shan wanted the extra vote back. And Stephen and I were talking about this last night. Did you think that either of them was pushing too hard in terms of, like, would you have, like, at some point said, okay, I'm going to just, like, let this go?
Yeah, I think Shan might have been pushing a little too hard there. Yeah. And, you know, I don't blame Ricard for, you know, saying, you could just do the same thing to me that you did to JD last week. I mean, who knows what you're saying in those confessionals? You're your real self out there, but you could just be acting in front of me. So I don't fault him at all, but I don't know. I don't know if it's the edit that just makes me want to root for Shan here so much. And maybe they're going into making Ricard look sly and sneaky, villainesque. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I can't blame him at all for how he was with her last night.
Do you think that for Shan, it was the right move to end up with keeping Ricard in the game and voting out Jeannie?
It's hard to answer that because, yeah, Ricard's very strategic. Yeah, you see him, you know, he was the one that came up with the idea of how to say the saying in front of everyone at the immunity challenge. He was the one that, you know, kind of came up with the idea of Shan, you know, doing the legwork of getting the advantage back from JD. So,
and the fake idol, that was also Ricard.
Oh my gosh, that was amazing. And the fake idol, like, that's an ally that you need, you know, come merge. Like, you know, when I got to the merge and I didn't reveal my idol until I knew it was time to use it. But, and of course, Nick gets a lot of credit for this when it comes to the minority vote split, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
But if I didn't have him to talk through it with me and us bounce ideas off of each other, that couldn't have happened. So you need people like that in your arsenal to do great things and ultimately get you to the end.
Do you think that this is going to be a rift that is going to be long term for Shan and Ricard? Or do you think they'll be able to, you know, put this behind them?
I think that they'll be able to table it, Rob.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'll be able to put it behind them. I see them. We don't know what this twist is at the end of the episode. We don't know if it's a swap. He says that something like a merge. I don't know what what's about.
Never happened before.
Never happened before. Of course, he always says that. But I see them sticking to their guns until they can make some more allies. And Shan's already started. And Ricard might be hungry for those other allies. And you see he's already hungry for a little bit of credit there. You know, he's mentioning the things that he's done at Tribal Council. He's mentioning things that he's done in confessional. So like I said, they can table it for now, but I don't know. It's not looking good for the latter part of the game.
Yeah, I'm not feeling as good about Ricard as I was earlier in the season. He was my winner pick coming in, but I do feel like that that, you know, we've seen how easy it has been for Shan to, you know, make allies in the game. It seems like that wherever she goes, she has people that are just like, you know, falling over themselves to work with her. But in talking with the different people that have been voted out of the game, I feel like that there is not really a lot of trust. Like Shan seems to be the one person who has a lot of faith in Ricard. Jeannie this morning was telling me how that, you know, nobody really trusted Ricard, but people just worked with him because, well, okay, well, I want to work with Shan. And he just sort of is like, you know, part of the package.
Well, I mean, I don't know. And again, I don't know.
That's Jeannie's account of it all. But I feel like that, you know, JD didn't feel like that he really wanted to work with them from what I was talking with him.
Yeah, I mean, I like him as a player. I like what he's doing out there. But I don't know if I would want to work with Ricard either. I mean, just from what I'm seeing, you know, the things that he's saying to people behind their back in confessionals. And it seems like, I don't know if this is just my mind, but I feel like every time he pops up, the editors will zoom in on a snake in the woods or something. Mm-hmm. Is that foreshadowing? Is he going to turn on Shan with, I mean, he has a snake tattoo. I don't know, man. I don't know. Maybe they're playing tricks on my mind, but yeah, I just don't know.
Yeah. All right. So we have this situation next week where Jeff talked about how we're going to have something that we've never had before. We have 12 people in the game. It's not quite a merge. Davey, what's going to happen next week?
I don't know. You think that maybe they'll split or they'll combine Ua and
Yasa?
Yasa, you think they'll combine Ua and Yasa and just let them battle it out?
That would be interesting. It's like, okay, well, here's the now let's take this one tribe that's been a powerhouse. Now let's combine the other two tribes.
Would that
against,
be fair, though? Yeah.
Who would it be? Who do you think would be unfair to it? And you know, we're just talking this through.
Maybe unfair to Luvu because that's it's still even, but that's two tribes that didn't start out together, yeah. And they're building stronger bonds, and they're going to look at Luvu as the threatening, tribe because they've stuck together this whole time. I think that might not be too fair to them.
See, I almost feel like it would be less fair to the other group of like, here are these tribes of people that have been losing all these challenges. And now, okay, now work together against this powerhouse that can't be beaten.
So they're the David standards.
Yeah, I kind of feel like it. Like it's, you know, the Luvu tribe has been, you know, Goliaths in the challenges. And I think that part of it is because, you know, I think that when you have these small tribes, and especially when you have a top heavy team where you have, you know, Danny and Nasir, I'm not sure like who the other like standouts have been. I would say Deshaun, but he's trying to throw challenges and they're still winning. And then when you're able to like, okay, we can sit out Heather, we can sit out Erica because we're up, you know, two people, three people, like it ends up being like sort of like it's just like, okay, well, who has the best people on their tribe? That's who ultimately is competing every single time.
Yeah, I mean, but you got to watch that, though. You make a valid point. But I mean, from what we've seen with Deshaun trying to throw the challenges with the things that they're saying in their confessionals, they're hungry to play the game. And a lot of times when you don't go to tribal, well, of course, I wouldn't know much about this because we went to tribal a lot. But from watching Survivor, when you don't go to tribal, you're itching to play the game. And that could hurt them, you know, going into this quote unquote swap. If we're talking about it, how, you know, we're thinking it's going to go, because they may turn on each other and then they lose, you know, it becomes 5-6 and then they just get, demolished come merge because Ua and Yase have become Uyase strong.
Mm-hmm. Don't feel like they're going to do that. You know, okay. I guess they could do it. And I guess it hasn't been done before where it's just like, okay, well, now you two tribes are still together. But That doesn't feel like a merge, though. I mean, it feels like, okay, it's a little bit of a swap. And Jeff was sort of like, it's not really a merge.
So do you think that it's going to be one tribe, but they won't call it the merge?
Yeah, I mean, I could see them potentially living in one spot. I mean, I think that's definitely a possibility.
Okay.
And what would you like that? Would that be interesting?
I'd rather just go to marriage. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many people, if there's a final three, then you need an odd number to vote so that it's, so shouldn't they go like, but it's a new era, but shouldn't they?
Well, it was interesting last night that Jeannie, I don't believe, was added to the jury, and that was 13. And so we have seen, like in recent seasons, not the Edge of Extinction seasons, but I believe that did your season have a 10-person jury?
I think so.
Yeah. So, and your merge was at 13?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, I mean, in a normal season, this is like when we, or a normal recent season, this is when we would have a merge. So, like, I actually think that the juries are too big right now. I would really love to see, like, if we have, like, I guess the jury must have to start next week because I don't think that they want to go to, like, for a long time, it was a final three and an 8-person jury. I could see them going back to that, especially now that they've established what the tiebreaker rule is. Do you think that we'll see the jury start now with we're down to 12?
I think so. And, you know, I was joking on Twitter, when Jeannie ran to Ricard and Chan and told them that she found an idol. I won't beat her up too much, but I feel like the producers, because when we merged, they were like, we really like this group. We're really glad that this group is the merge. I feel like the producers really wanted Chantel and Ricard to make the merge. And now that they're there, you know, why not just go ahead and call it the merge? But hey, Jeff's got some tricks up his sleeve. He's doing a lot of stuff that he doesn't know. I don't know if 41 is the test run for 42 and the rest of the 40s, the way that Edge of Extinction was the test run for Winners at War or what. But it's a lot going on. And Rob, I'm as confused as a goat on AfroTurf.
Yeah. Did you like when we had that reveal last night with Nasir?
I liked the way they did it. I'm not a big fan of this twist where they have to say these phrases at the challenges over and over and over again. I think one time would have been enough. I think that if Xander would have said it that first challenge, if someone would have said it that second challenge, and it unlocked so forth and so on, maybe have a little green light at the bottom of the screen when it activates that tribe, a yellow light, a blue light, and go like Mario Kart, you know, but to do it over and over and over again, it gets suspicious. There's no way, Rob. I mean, I know a lot of the exit press people keep saying that they didn't know, have any idea, but there's no way that those people on those mats last night did not think that something was afoot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's no way, man.
Well, I kind of feel like that. I mean, that the Yasa tribe, they all knew about it at that point. You know, that the Uwa tribe all knew about it. And Deshaun knew about it.
Exactly.
So, I mean, like, maybe Heather might be the only person like that might not, might not know. But I think everybody else is like, oh, yeah, the thing.
Yeah, man. I don't know. We'll see. And then, you know, they ask us a million questions on the mat, so I'm pretty sure they could have pieced it together. But it seems like when Jeff was ready to move on, that there was so much hesitation in between him ready to move on and Nasir saying it, and Nasir almost couldn't even get it out, that there's no way that people won't know.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, maybe if they're going into this one tribe, it's going to be a chaotic episode, which is going to be great for our watch party.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's right. Tell me about the watch party coming up on Wednesday night.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even speak about it yet. Okay. So, guys, we are trying to cultivate this Georgia fan base, this down south fan base, because we get so jealous of the West Coast and the Midwest and up north, you know, I feel like Survivor is geared towards those areas, but we're trying to change that, man. We want people to apply here in Georgia. So if you're listening and you're not far from Atlanta, Georgia, next Wednesday, the 27th, I believe, is the date.
Yep.
From 6:30 to 9:30, we're going to be at the infamous Ron Clark Academy, where we're going to watch the next episode. We're going to have games. You must be 21 to enter. We're going to have special guests. Who knows? You might see someone from this season. We're going to have everyone's out there going to be in their costumes. So come in your best costume.
Oh, is a Halloween party?
It's a Halloween party, man. You know, actually, this is our third annual, Rob. I don't like to throw the annual too much because, you know, during the blip, I call 2020 the blip. So this is our third annual Halloween party, and for it to be at the Ron Clark Academy, got to shout out my boy Ron for allowing us to do that. And I think it's going to be a great event.
Yeah. And then how do people come by? Do they need tickets ahead of time?
That's right. So, yes, you need to get your tickets ahead of time. Of course, I'm sure we'll work with you if there's a few people that come to the door.
Mm-hmm.
But check my Instagram. You can check Sharia's Instagram, T-Bird's Instagram,
Rick Devin's
Instagram, our Twitter, and Ron as well. We should have the link in our bios to where you can RSVP. The event is free, so we got you there.
Oh, nice.
You can come on in, have a good time. Rob, I even reached out to T-Bird today. I was like, T-Bird, you think you can do one of those great promos that you do for talking with T-Bird for this party?
Yeah.
And she, of course, said she would. So I can't wait for that.
Nobody does it better than T-Bird.
Right, man.
She is a hype machine.
So, yeah, man. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully it will be a great event, but I'm pretty sure it will be.
Yeah. We'll be right back with more from Davey. But first, we have to thank one of our sponsors, and those are our friends over at KiwiCo. Of course, KiwiCo, makers of cool arts and crafts, science projects that you can get delivered to your youngsters. And of course, we have one of our resident youngsters here. Dominic Sestrino is here. Dominic, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Yes, Dominic, I know you've been enjoying Survivor 41. Any thoughts from last night?
I mean, it was good.
But was it more fun than doing a KiwiCo box?
No.
No, that's right, because KiwiCo delivers hands-on science and art projects right to your door. KiwiCo, they make creativity convenient for your entire family. It's very fun to do, even as an adult. Now, Dominic loves to put together the KiwiCo boxes that we have gotten delivered to the house. Dominic, I know you recently just got another one. What was this last KiwiCo box that you did?
I'm pretty sure that it was a kangaroo and color dye painting coral set.
Yes. Okay, that sounds exciting.
Then I had like a board game.
Yes. Okay. And what about your younger brother? You're 8. Your brother is 5. Was this
he built the board game?
Yes, and he loved it.
Yeah.
Yes, because with KiwiCo, your child can get super cool hands-on science, art, and geography projects delivered right to their door every month. They'll be so excited to see these arrive in the mail. Dominic, could you tell us how excited you are? Show us how excited you are when a KiwiCo box shows up at the door. What would you say?
On a scale of 1 to 10?
Yeah, a scale of 1 to 10.
Probably like a 9.
9. Maybe even a 10.
Yes.
Okay. And you'll see how KiwiCo boxes have high quality materials. These are real engineering, science, and art projects for your children. Cultivate your child's natural creativity and curiosity with hands-on projects every single month. They'll explore new worlds, rediscover familiar ones without even leaving home. From discovering the science of magic to engineering a domino machine. You ever do the domino machine?
No.
Okay, that sounds like a good one.
I want the domino machine.
Yes, okay. Well, hopefully we'll get that next month. Do your part to encourage your children to be innovators and creative thinkers. They won't believe what they can build and accomplish with KiwiCo. Donna, can you believe what you've built with KiwiCo?
No.
No, not really, right? Give them the tools to learn new skills, build new experiences, and make new connections to a broader world. And the best part is watching their confidence grow as big as their smile. As a parent, it can be hard to find creative ways to keep your children busy and challenged, but KiwiCo, they do the legwork for you so you can spend quality time tackling projects together. There's something for kids of all ages. There's no commitment. You can pause or cancel anytime. Dominic, it's more fun than even the game within the game, right?
I mean, the game within the game is good, but KiwiCo may be better.
KiwiCo might be better. Scare up some fun this Halloween with KiwiCo. Redefine learning with play. Explore hands-on projects that build confidence, creativity, and critical thinking skills. Get 50% off your first month, plus free shipping on any crate line with promo code. What is it, Dominic?
R-H-A-P.
At KiwiCo.com. That's 50% off your first month at KiwiCo.com. Promo code.
R-H-A-P.
All right. Thank you so much. Dominic, we got to get back to Davey. I'll talk to you later, okay?
Okay.
Davey, let me ask you a little bit about this advantage that came into the game last night. Of course, there were some interesting advantages in David versus Goliath, of course. That was the season that the Idol Nullifier was born. And people loved it. People loved it in David versus Goliath. Yeah. They came back another time. People didn't love it as much. Kind of like me. Yeah. But Davey, tell me a little bit about the knowledge is power advantage. Did you think this was a good one, or they should go back to the drawing board?
I don't know. I'm kind of 50-50 on this one, Rob. And it's weird because I'm usually someone who's all up on the twist. Like,
yeah.
Contrary to belief, I really enjoyed Edge of Extinction, both the season and the twist.
Okay. Tell me, why did you like Edge of Extinction so much?
I mean, I think that they could have done it better to where we could see some extra scenes on Paramount Plus or CBS All Access. Yeah. But I like seeing, you know, people out there. And that's what I missed about Survivor. People going through the thick of it and starving and having it rough on the edge. That's why I applied for Survivor. I wanted to be able to push myself like that. And it's interesting watching that type of thing. I think if I was out on Edge of Extinction, I might be Devilish Davey out on that island and trying to get people to quit. You know, yeah. I don't know. It seems I feel like they could have done some more with it. And I liked it.
Yeah. Okay. So knowledge is power.
Yeah. So I say I'm 50-50 with knowledge is power. I'm probably just biased because I'm glad Liana has it. But this whole thing about, I think it's fair though, Rob. I think it's fair because it's not like you're getting to use it on every person. It's not like you get to do it every tribal. You have one shot, just like the shot in the dark. You've got one shot, and if you get it right, you get it right. With the Idol Nullifier, we knew that Dan had the idol. We knew that Dan was going to play his vote, or you know, play his idol that time. So it worked for us. So that's why it's good for Liana to be making these allies in Shan and hopefully making allies with the other tribe, because you can get that intel and information from them. And hopefully one of them will tell you who has an idol here, who has an idol there. But then at the same token, with this whole butterflies and broccoli and goats thing, it's kind of like they're telling on themselves already.
Yeah.
So Liana kind of has an idea anyway what three she wants to ask.
Yeah, so Davey, that Steven and I talked about this last night, and Steven really hated the part where, oh, you're not allowed to lie if you have an idol or an advantage. That was the part that he got him really against this. But I think what you're saying, it makes it where, you know, it, like in your season, you know, you found the idol, you found an advantage, you know, and you didn't tell, if you don't tell anybody, then nobody knows. And you actually, it's actually like it penalizes people who are sort of like telling everybody that they have the idol or have the advantage. But in this season, we have idols that sort of like you need to announce, like a check in your idol that, okay, hey, everybody, I just want to let you know I have one of the idols. And then you have this advantage that allows somebody to steal your idol just by knowing about it. And so if this was in a different season, I don't think I would be as against it. But here, that you people know who has the idols, and then you have an advantage to take an idol from somebody, and all you have to do is know about it.
Yeah, man. And Rob, I got distracted for a second. Why did Mike White just text me and say, did you hear about us on Netflix?
Oh.
Well, not just me personally, but our little David versus Goliath chat. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, I totally agree, dude. Like, it's just a lot going on there. I feel like if they take this into other seasons, maybe it needs to be a one and done type thing. Maybe it doesn't need to or maybe not a one and done type thing, but every few seasons, you know how they tried to do that idol nullifier the other two times and it just didn't go well. So I don't know. Maybe it's got one and done potential.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We have a lot also in this season with the Shipwheel Island, as I like to call it, with Risk Your Vote versus Protect Your Vote. Now, Davey, you had a chance in David versus Goliath that you were able to play a game where that you could have had like a more powerful immunity idol. But had you lost, you would have lost your vote at Tribal Council, correct?
Yeah, man, that's one of those things that keep me up at night sometimes.
I didn't know that. So that you feel like you wish you would have played the game more and tried to extend the power of your idol?
I don't know if I would have wished. I don't know if I wish I would have played the game more. It's just running that scenario of what if, you know, Marvel's what if.
Yeah.
What if I did? Because, you know, if I did, that idol would have been good for me on the next time. Which I could have played it for myself. Wait, am I getting this right?
I think so, because it was when Christian went home. Right.
So I went home next. So if that idol, you know, was working at 6, I could have played it for myself, and I would have still been alive. So it's always in the back of your head.
Refresh my memory. Well, what did you end up doing anything with the idol at 7?
Yeah, I played it for myself.
Yeah.
Just to be safe, and Nick also played his, and Christian didn't have any.
Yeah, yeah, okay. And Nick wasted his idol because he felt like that he was getting votes, and that people said like, no, I don't think you need it. And he could have used it to save you at the next round.
He could have used it to save me at the next round. You know, I think there was a pretty good chance that he might have, but mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But hey, it worked out the way
it worked out fine. Look, you're on Netflix now, Davey.
Right, man. Come on, baby.
Yeah. So I was wondering if you had any thoughts about the idea of like risk your vote versus protect your vote since you went through like a similar situation with trying to protect your vote to preserve it at that vote.
Well, you saw how safe I played it. I probably, first of all, there's already confusion with the twists and the rules. I probably would have to ask the producers questions on questions on questions until I understood. And with all of that extraness, I'm probably not risking my vote because you're getting down to the wire now. You know that some type of swap or merge is coming, and you know you're going to need your vote. I mean, you may have an idol at play. So then that's something to think about, but a vote is how you make moves in this game. A vote is how you can save yourself without an idol. So yeah, I don't think I'm risking it.
You know, just going back to in your season, you know, one of the things that I had kind of forgotten about was around that point in the game that you said, okay, now is the time I want to get Nick out of the game. And there was a point where, you know, you were actually coming up with a plan to vote out Nick because you felt like, okay, well, I need to knock Nick out to get to the end of the game. And I wonder if as we're looking at like Shannon Ricard as a pair, what is the right time, do you think, for one of them to make a move on the other?
Well, see, that's why I'm telling you that last week's episode is the riff. Mm-hmm. The riff for myself and Nick was when I could tell he was lying to me about him finding that idol, which he had a fake idol. And that made me paranoid. It made me not trust him. It made me say, okay, is he trying to come for me or what have you? But when he finally came to me and confessed that, you know, he didn't find it, that's when I was able to regain trust in him. So with the riff that I saw with Shen and Ricard on the beach and her asking for her advantage back and him saying he's not giving her advantage back, I think that would have been that tribal might have been the time that they needed to decide whether it was going to be him or her. Mm-hmm. So, which means that when it hits the merge, I don't really see them going far with each other.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Well, it's interesting timing for the two of them, because now what if they end up where they're not necessarily like in the same group or the same tribe, where I feel like that this could be over for Shannon Ricard after this if they don't end up going to the same place.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. Are they going to go to one tribe? Are they going to go to two tribes? And if they do go to two tribes, will Shan be able to be on a tribe with Lyanna, where she already has, you know, a little bit of a relationship? Will she be saved? Will Ricard be able to create relationships with the Luvu tribe if he goes to them? Give me a second, bill collectors.
Hey, yeah, let's tell him, because now everybody's Davey's on Netflix. Davey's got that Netflix money. Call him now. Call Davey.
Sorry about that, but yeah, I mean, that's the thing: is are you going to be able to recover when the game throws something at you? Some people are good at it. I mean, to be a good Survivor player, you got to be good at it. But if you're not, then you're probably going to end up on not the best side.
Going back to the Luvu tribe, they were thinking about throwing the challenge because they didn't want to go into the merge with so many numbers where they felt like that they were going to be targeted. Deshaun wanted to vote out Erica. Did you think that that was a good idea?
I don't think it's something that I would have done. We'd actually did have an opportunity to throw a challenge when we were swapped. That was when it was me, Carl, Alec, Elizabeth, and Kara.
Right.
And Elizabeth presented myself and Carl the idea to throwing the challenge so that, you know, Jabini would be safe. Our people at Jabini would be safe. She was really thinking about Lyrissa more so. But Carl, you know, Carl, he's a fan of the game, but he's more of a recruiter of the game. And yeah. I think that, you know, when they're like that, they're not trying to throw challenges.
Right.
So only if all of your allies are in on it, then you go with that. And seeing that Nasir wasn't in on it this episode, I think they made a good move in not trying to do that again, because that could have blew them up. But you know, with Deshaun doing it last episode, first of all, the segment was amazing. It was fun as hell. Deshaun was an amazing narrator throughout. So it was fun as a viewer. But if I was out there, I'd be a nervous wreck, trying not to throw my game away, trying not to get called out by Jeff. That's the thing, man. Rob, you know how Jeff is. Yeah. Like, if he gets a whiff that you're trying to throw something, he's going to embarrass the double hockey sticks out of you. So I would have been going back and forth on that. But, it wouldn't have been the worst thing, because he sees he has a great ally in Sydney. Sydney comes and tells him whenever Nasir says something about getting them out, which is weird now because it seems like Nasir is aligned with them. So maybe Nasir recovered well. He's a good Survivor player.
Yeah.
But yeah, ultimately I wouldn't do it, but I don't blame them for doing it.
Yeah, Davey, my goal is to then throw the challenge so badly that Jeff like gives me like a round of applause for like, Rob, you tried so hard and you failed. But that's the great thing about Survivor. You have that spirit where you never give up. Like, thank you, Jeff. Thank you for acknowledging me.
Oh, so you want a segment like they did with Heather last week?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that'd be hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Danny is like, Rob, come on, you got this. Like, thank you, Danny. Davey, let me ask you about Xander. Do you think that he's in big trouble now, considering that everybody knows about his idols and his advantages? Although he does have an idol now.
Oh, come on, Xander.
Man. I saw you on TikTok about Xander today.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I did one of those TikToks. Like, I felt like if he didn't get this phrase out at this next challenge, then he was just going to come out right and say to the other tribes, will you find your freaking idols? Mm-hmm. but first of all, about Xander, man, Rob, does he not look like the hero of time to you?
The hero of time? I'm not familiar with the hero of time.
Okay, I was checking your nerdum, man. You're not a full nerd, Rob.
Let me look up what is the Hero of Time from?
Zelda. Link. The Hero of Time is Link.
Got it. I know him from back in the day of just Link.
Yeah. So, I mean, but he looks just like him to me. But anyway, so Xander, how
I thought Link has blonde hair.
Yeah, wait, is Xander's hair not blonde-ish?
I think he has like darker hair.
Okay. Maybe, but no, it's more so just the way that he wears his buff. He wears the buff.
Yes, like, I could see that. Yeah, I could see that. Hat.
Yeah.
It's just like a little bit of hair coming out of one right, part of it.
Xander, if you're listening, you need to go for Halloween as Link. Look him up. but yeah, man, I don't know how he fumbled that. He didn't think that all the way through when he was with Evie and saying that maybe we bring in Tiffany. He didn't think it through that Tiffany was going to, you know, be prying and asking questions. Mm-hmm. And he got tripped up there. He said he found the idol and then he forgot that he said the phrase and everyone knows about the phrase that pays. And yeah, I think he might be in a little bit of trouble now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think that Evie has done a bad job of making Liana and Tiffany feel like that? Look, that I'm totally playing Xander.
I honestly think it's a little bit of Tiffany's paranoia. You saw that how she was during the Abraham vote. Mm-hmm. So I think that Liana trusts Evie.
Yeah.
I think Tiffany trusts Evie to a fault, but I think the hierarchy is definitely the women and then Xander. I think Evie's doing a pretty good job there.
Okay. Davey, I have some questions for you from the listeners of Rob as a Podcast. Okay. And so let me ask a question from Kelly Lynch, who wants to ask you, would Davey hand his idol or advantage over as insurance if one of his tribe mates asked for it before tribal council? If not, how would you say no, Davey?
First of all, First of all, they're not going to know. I almost got too real with you there, Rob. First of all, they're not going to know I have an advantage. That's the first mistake.
Yes.
But if they do know that I have an advantage and they need to use it for collateral, I'm probably going to play it like Ricard. I'm like, do you trust me or do you not trust me? I probably would double down on that. I don't think that's one of them things in Survivor, man. You just don't give your shit, your stuff away. God, I'm trying to. My mother's watching this.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't give your stuff away. Yeah. That's the second part of that question. I would have just doubled down. And if they still were persistent with that, then we'd have to go with another ally at that point.
Yeah, I wonder, like, if you were like JD, could you just say, like, oh, I have to go to the bathroom and just run away and hide until tribal council? Like, just go and
right,
make a spy shack.
Right, but not have your advantages exposed when you get there.
Yes, yeah, ideally. Ideally.
Oh, and Rob, can I talk about JD for a second?
Please, yeah.
Man, my boy JD. So look, dude, I'm telling you, I was so big on this guy. Not even just him being a Survivor player, but we've had all of these seasons where you have seen black players who would come out and it would seem like it was one black archetype each time.
Yeah.
The workhorse, the challenge beast, with James and Jeremy. I mean, of course you would see the strategist here and there with Earl and Wendell, but to see, David versus Goliath's horn a little bit. So I think they are learning. The casting is trying.
Yeah.
The show is trying. And you saw on David versus Goliath, you know, when I was an alternate and I got flown out to Fiji, I thought the reason was they needed a black guy out there. Imagine me getting there and seeing Jeremy and seeing Carl and saying, what? It's three black men out here?
Yeah.
Oh, well, what are they going to do with the archetype? We can't all be the strong challenge beast, but to have Jeremy, a gay black man out there, Davey, a black nerd out there, Carl, a black cowboy out there. It's just amazing. Reality TV is finally learning that there's more types of black people than just one. And that's why it's so beautiful to see JD in this surfer type black guy. Never seen something like that. Passionate about the game. Super fan. I was just all in on JD. And I think that, you know, his biggest downfall was that he came into the game and played with his whole heart, where he probably, you know, should have been a little apprehensive. But I don't blame him for the way that he came in balls to the wall. And he's definitely a character. The same way that I'm talking about these new legends with Shan, he's definitely a pre-merge legend.
Yeah, I love JD also. I just loved, you know, seeing like a young person come in and, you know, being such a fan of the show and just like where you can like feel like the excitement coming from them, wanting to be there. And I just thought that, you know, he was just really fun to watch. And I was very sad to see him go last week, too. Yeah, he was great. Yeah, I have a question for you. Would JD have done better in the game if he stopped trying to emulate Wu and Ozzy and just embraced his Survivor blurredness?
Yeah, man, he absolutely would have. I think that you kind of can get caught up on playing like your idols. And, you know, I played the idol for Christian because I wanted to play the idol for Christian. But Jeremy playing the idol for Fishback had a big influence on me doing it.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can get caught up in that. And if you don't play it the way that you want to play it, that's why whenever someone asks you for advice to get on the show, I think people may get a little annoyed with us as Survivor fans, Survivor players, because we'll be like, just be yourself. No one wants to hear that. Just be yourself. They want to know the keys of how to get on the show. But it really is just be yourself, because you will be able to, you don't have to code switch. You don't have to be anyone different. You don't have to get caught up in this lie that you've created. You can just be that authentic person. And for the most part, it should take you where you need to go.
Do you feel like in hindsight that that wasn't a good move to play the idol on Christian?
No, I don't. I definitely think that where we were at that point, where the Goliaths were up from us, I don't know what the exact numbers are, but I really feel like if they got rid of Christian, they were coming after me next. Yeah. I mean, Nick was in good with people. Gabby was in good with people. What would they call it? The Strike Force. They
strike were in Force good. Of six, yeah.
Right. They were in good with that. I mean, even though if they would have got rid of Christian, that might have crumbled a little bit. Yeah. But I think they would have been good. I wasn't a challenge beast, but I think that they would have seen me, you know, being that guy that's, you know, a good stature. And maybe we'd go after him. Not to say that Carl's not of good stature, but, you know, I'm a little younger than him. I think they probably would have came after me right after Christian. And I wouldn't have, I mean, I would have had an idol there. But if I played an idol for myself, then that would only make my target larger.
Right.
What am I going to do the next round and the next round? So, I'm okay with playing out of Christian.
I only asked because it sounded like you were saying a little bit like that you got caught up in wanting to play like Jeremy, but that was a really good move. That was like one of the most important things to happen.
Thanks, man. Yeah. I mean, if I had to do it all over again, I'd do it the same way.
To be honest, it was a better, better move for you than it was for Jeremy, because Steven got voted out the next round anyway.
Right.
Like, did more for your side. I mean, Jeremy's going to win, but, you know, not because of anything Steven did.
As Kristen told you, I've listened to his podcast with you here and there, but you know, they go on for 11 hours.
Yeah. Yep.
As Kristen never told you how I would compare him to, I think the line that I said to him specifically was, I'll be your Jeremy if you'll have my fish back. And I thought for sure that was going to make the cameras, but it didn't. But he said that when you and both Nick was comparing me to fish back, I was like, oh, these guys don't want me to win. Of course you do. Shout out to Christian, man. I reached out to him about the Netflix thing. I'm going to need some things for him soon.
Yeah, was he excited?
Oh, he's excited, man. Everyone's excited, man. We're going to milk this for what it's worth.
Yeah. Okay, that's really exciting. Maybe you have to come on the Nothing But Netflix podcast with Chappelle now.
Who's Chappelle? You mean Brandon, Rob? His mama calls him Brandon. His mama named him Brandon. I'ma call him Brandon. I don't know who the Chappelle character is you guys got on RHA. No, I'm just joshing. You know, Chappelle's my boy.
I know.
We got up a few weeks ago. We went down to Charleston, South Carolina for a housewarming party.
Yes.
And you know, we all.
If I recall from his social media that you had an issue with the screen door.
I didn't know he busted.
I don't think it was a video. I think he just talked about it.
Yeah. So, you know, we've been drinking and doing some things. And you know how it is, man. When when there's a screen, it's a brand new house. The screen door was there, but the, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, I definitely walked straight into but that's what I was talking about earlier, Rob, about, you know, the fans becoming friends. Like,
yeah.
I met these people on Twitter, and you know, just for anyone listening, the best way for me to become your friend is for you to make me laugh. And that guy right there, Brandon Chappelle, is one comical person. Okay,
I know,
Rob.
I know,
dude. And Rob, I have to give you your kudos too, man. Just, you know, that Rap 2020 class and you reaching out for more diversity, that was amazing. And I also need to kind of apologize to you, dude, because before I started doing these podcasts and things, you know, I didn't know anything about the podcast world until after I played David versus Goliath. And I would listen to you guys week to week, and I kind of, you know, would look and I'd be like, I don't have any people of color out there. And for you to make that change, you know, dude, I really respect you for that, and I really appreciate you for it.
Well, that I appreciate that, Davey. And I just wanted to, you know, like especially like when there's like things that are like that I don't know a lot about. Like I always want to have like people that I can talk to that can, you know, explain things and be able to like to speak you know, their truth about things. And so, you know, I apologize for, you know, like, you know, coming to that understanding, it's probably too late, but you know, I've been, you know, we were very fortunate. There were so many people that wanted to step up and, you know, come up here and, you know, jump on these microphones and, you know, talk about these shows that we all love and that bring us together.
I love it, man. And that makes me think of something else. When you talk about learning, one thing that I will see in the BB community and the Survivor community, reality TV world community, is a lot of hesitancy to calling players black players. You'll see them saying African-American or people of color. So I want to just say to, and I'm not speaking for all black people, but it's okay. It's okay to call us black players. It's okay. I feel like a lot of times people will say African-American because they think they're cleaning it up, or a purple person of color because they think they're cleaning it up and being respectful, and they're trying to be respectful. But in actuality, you know, all people of color don't face the same struggles that others face. So when you're talking about black people, we want to be known as black people. I saw when Xavier won, a lot of people were saying the first African-American black winner. No, man, call him the first black winner, dude. He can sit in that and be proud of it. But I know it's never meant, you know, off-putting, but I, just so that people will know in the future, it's okay to, for us to send in our blackness.
Okay. Well, that, those are the kinds of things that, like, I think it's great to talk about, because that, you know, and I am a little bit older, but like, I feel like that, you know, I was taught, you know, African-American was more preferred than black. Now, again, that maybe I'm not hearing that. That's maybe that's white people telling other white people, like, no, say African American and don't say black. So I'm glad that like we're in the space where like, you know, we could have the conversations of
we
like
can
no,
have
just,
the conversation.
Yes,
and that's what's so powerful about it. Yep.
Yeah. Davey, let me give you a question from Taylor Downs. Who on this cast would be the most fun to cosplay with?
You got JD. He looks fun. I've already pitted Xander as the hero of time. I don't know if he'd be into cosplaying. Evie looks like she's kind of geeky. She'd probably be into that type of thing. Yeah, so maybe those three.
Okay. How about this is from Baby Andy, who said, Davey, Luvu has 50% of the numbers coming into next week's shakeup. Should Danny and Deshaun try to get the Luvu the majority, or should they throw Erica under the bus? So let's say hypothetically they merge 6-6. Should Danny and Deshaun be trying to target the same people they were going to throw a challenge to get rid of? In a new tribe.
Keith, to quote Keith Nail, they probably should just stick to the plan there. Mm-hmm. I mean, double down on it. If you think that Erica's, I mean, and I love Erica, but if you think that you can't trust her for whatever reason, and you'd rather trust Sydney, then you go ahead and dwindle those numbers down. Maybe they're looking on the other side and seeing people that they do want to align with, and they don't want to be Louisville strong. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's what it is. Me personally, I like Erica. I would probably want to work with her because she's coming and she's bringing me information. But I don't know what the dynamic is between that trouble, because we don't get to see that trouble. And that's the catch 23 with 22 with Survivor. Like, if you're not losing these challenges, we're not really going to know what's going on with your tribe. But me personally, I would want to work with Erica. I think she's ride or die.
Me too, because I feel like that I sort of got throwing the challenge a little bit more, because I feel like that if you're thinking about, like, when you get to the merge in these three tribe seasons, it's always like the group that has the biggest numbers, the other groups are going to sort of like pile on and say, OK, well, they've got five, so we got to go after them. Like we saw with Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers, where the Healers came in at the merge and then the Heroes and the Hustlers got together and they said, OK, we got to vote out all of the Healers. But so like the optics of like, oh, we don't want to come in with six, because if we come in six strong, we're going to get targeted. But, you know, Erica, that the only thing she did wrong was she went to Deshaun and said, hey, I trust you. Let's get rid of Sydney. And Deshaun's like, oh, I like Sydney. We got to get rid of Erica. But Erica doesn't even know that Deshaun betrayed her. I can't see any reason why, if Erica's feeling like I want to work with Deshaun, why Deshaun would want to get rid of Erica now.
Yeah, and I mean, kudos to Deshaun, because he played it well. He didn't, you know, he kept his poker face on. He made it seem like it was a possibility. But I think if I was Deshaun in that moment, I wouldn't have even told Sydney. I would have just kept that in the back of my mind and used it whenever I needed to use it. But see how loyal Erica is once your tribe is faced with adversity. I mean, you're in a good spot right now with Nasir and Danny. And I mean, you're in a great place right now, Deshaun. So I mean, me personally, I think I would have just kept it quiet for a while.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ben F. wants to ask you, Davey, if you had gotten a phone call from Jeff Probst before the season about the planned twists and advantages, what feedback would you have given? Now, of course, one of your castmates, Mike White, has, of course, that has a lot of sway with Jeff, that they had a whole idea for the season. They threw it out because Mike White said, is it fun? And they said, you're right. When they went back to the drawing board, they came up with a whole new idea for the season. So if Jeff called you, Davey, well, what do you think you would say to him?
If Jeff called me, I would say, Jeff, we just got this new fan base from Netflix.
Yes.
Let's not confuse them. Let's not throw a whole bunch. They love it. They love Survivor. Oh, my gosh. All you had to do was put two of the best seasons on there. They love it.
Yeah.
So let's not change the game, Jeff. Let's just go with the flow. Of course, let's add a little more diversity in there. You did good with that, Joe. Let me give you kudos there. But let's not mess with the mechanics of the game too much. No one's complaining about that other than Fire 4 making and Edge of Extinction. So, you know, let's leave it the way it is.
Yeah, Jeff. Nobody's like, you know what I don't like about Survivor? Too boring. Not enough stuff going on.
Yeah, man. I don't know. I think Jeff is trying to stay with the times. You know, Survivor's been on for 40 seasons. He's trying to spice it up. There's all these other new reality shows now that are doing different things. I saw a freaking dating show where you kind of get to cosplay. And
oh, yeah.
So many, yeah.
Yeah. There's sexy beasts.
That's it. He's trying to keep up with the times. I won't say so he can get that Emmy, but I'm pretty sure that's in the back of his head.
Yeah. Davey, would you go on Sexy Beasts?
I would go on Sexy Beasts so hard. Oh my gosh.
Sexy Beast casting, if you're listening.
Yeah, man, I would do it. Actually, Rob, I've got an exclusive for you.
Yes.
Dude. I'm going to be next month. I can't really talk about it too much, but I'm going to be on the Steve Harvey Show. In a dating sequence.
What? For real? This is happening?
It's already happened. It's been filmed.
Okay.
So I'm not supposed to talk about it too much. Okay. So let's not take it to the internet, guys. But just for for you guys right here, because you're family.
Yes.
And I know not too many Steve Harvey people are listening to this anyway.
Okay.
But I'm going to be on a dating sequence and there will be some familiar faces. So
okay, all right. Okay, are you like The Bachelor?
I'm one of the there's a bachelorette, and okay, I'm one of the suitor. Bachelors competing. Okay.
All right. Well, you have to let us know when that's going to be.
I sure will. I mean, I already told Bryce. I was like, hey, man, if you want me to come on the show and talk about it, I won't mind. So he said, you know, okay. We'll see when
that. Davey, did you get to meet Steve Harvey?
I did get to meet Steve Harvey, man.
How was Steve?
Actually, me and him went back and forth with the jokes here and there. So it's gonna be hilarious. Steve Harvey is Chappelle's frat brother. And he talked about, I remember Chappelle talking about my frat on the David versus Goliath countdown. So let me just clarify one thing. Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated is the frat, okay? Omega Psi Phi, I mean, they're cool, but Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated is the it frat in HBCU Black Greek fraternity and sorority.
Okay, good. Let the record show.
Let the record show.
Okay, but how about this is a question from Isaac, who says, with the Go Fish advantage, I feel it's more balanced than what was talked about on Survivor Know-It-Alls. It can be avoided by a player immediately if they play their idol at Tribal before Liana gets a chance to steal it. And if Liana doesn't play it immediately, someone can spend their idol or advantage before she steals it. Additionally, idols or advantages can be given to other players for safekeeping. Thoughts?
Okay, run that by me again. Okay. First of all, I didn't even know it was called a Go Fish.
I called it last night. Okay. I said, like, got any idols? But so Isaac is saying that, like, well, maybe it's not that unfair because that, okay, well, people can, like, play their idols right away or their advantages right away. Or they could give it to somebody else to hold. But people don't know that that's even a thing. So if you want to tell players at the start of the season, by the way, there's a new power. It's called the knowledge is power advantage. So you might have an idol or advantage, but like, don't let them sit in your pockets for too long, because if somebody knows you have one, they could steal it, you know? But people don't even know, like, imagine Davey, you're sitting there with your idol and somebody's like, Davey, got an idol? Like, yeah. Now you don't.
How are the players with the advantages and the idols going to know that they're not allowed to lie? That's my thing.
Yeah, that's a good thing. I was like, actually,
is Jeff gonna rat them out?
Yeah, Jeff is like, liar, he's lying,
breaking the fourth wall again.
Yeah, Davey is lying to the audience.
You know. Honestly, Rob, I wouldn't mind that as opposed to how he's been doing it, you know, coming before a Tribal. Like, there's a fun way to do it, Jeff. Like,
somebody's pants are on fire,
right, dude? Like, when he was losing his voice, he could have been like, I need a cough drop or something like that, man. Like,
yeah,
he's going right. Holler at me, JP. I got you, man. Give me a call, bro.
Amanda Fallon was, would Davey volunteer to go to Shipwheel Island, or is that too risky?
I think it's too risky for me.
Yeah.
I think in the back of my mind, like, I think when people volunteer for that stuff, they be wanting screen time and they know that's a guaranteed way to get it.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I don't know if I would be volunteering for that, especially not in the earlier part of the game, because I haven't made those strong bonds in any time away from the camp. You got to know that they may be throwing your name out there. So I don't think in the beginning of the game I'm doing that, but maybe as the game progresses, if there's more Shipwheel Islands when we come to the merge, maybe I might go for that.
Davey, Andrea Christy Trantham wants to say, Shan and Liana commented on how their moms would have loved the view on the island. What were you most excited to show your mom when she visited?
Oh, my God. Well, first of all, I was more excited about telling my mom what I did and how she helped me do it. So, you know, the one challenge that I won was the immunity challenge where we had to scramble the words. And ever since I've been a wee little boy, my mother's had us playing Scrabble. And if it was not for her having me playing that game, I would not have won that challenge. Now, you let Carl tell it. He said that I was looking at his word and that's how I got it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm here to tell you that that's false. And if it wasn't for Hazel Rickenbacker, I wouldn't have been able to do it. But now when it comes to sceneries and views, you know, just, well, she came out there, so she saw it. But, you know, just the ocean and Fiji is so beautiful, man.
Yeah.
And just for her. That was my mother's first international trip. So for her to experience that, I was so grateful that I was able to give that to her. And she can't wait to go back.
Have you ever gone back?
Oh, yeah, man. I went to Fiji. The mayor of Slamtown was so gracious enough to give me his ticket because he wasn't going out there. So I had a free ticket from John. And then another one of my friends said that he would just buy his ticket. So me and two of my frat brothers went out there and, you know, we just experienced Fiji. And but we couldn't get any boats to go to the islands. Like I was trying to do that stuff, but it was really hard to get out there. I don't think it was during filming or anything, but it was just really tough. And the language barrier wasn't great, you know. But Fiji was amazing. We did get to go on a paradise cruise one day with a lot of other Americans and Australians. We had fun out there. Not too many familiar faces. But as I was leaving, Natalia was coming. So I got to say hey to Natalia for a little bit. I would love once the world settles back down and we're able to travel more frequently, I'd love to go back out there to Fiji with, you know, a larger group.
Yeah. I always think it's wild that the survivors, then they go and they visit the island that they played Survivor on.
I'm gonna tell you why I wanted to go out there. I've got John's jacket out there hidden and I wanted to get it back and sell it on eBay.
Okay. This is huge. Okay. So the mayor of Slamtown's jacket is hidden. Why did you bury it?
I buried it. I mean, I used to wear it in confessionals and stuff. They never chose any of those confessionals because I'm sure they just wanted to have me, you know, doing the slam and wrestling the jacket, and that was enough.
Yeah.
But if I wasn't blindsided, I would have brought it back with me. But because I was blindsided,
boy, what's with David versus Goliath in jackets?
Oh my gosh, you don't even know the half of it. There was also a segment with Allison, myself, and Alec over Alec's jacket that didn't air. And probably if I would have won the season or Allison would have won the season, you might have saw that. But
what happened?
Something about the jacket. Alec left his jacket somewhere, and I think I went and found it, and I kind of used it as leverage, and I kind of proposed to Allison, like, will you work with me if I give you this jacket type thing? It was really corny, but it was kind of funny.
Had you known that the whole Natalie and Angelina jacket thing was such a big deal?
I didn't know nothing about that. I mean, okay, they were saying that something happened, and I thought they were just, you know, being your typical Survivor players, like, oh, they're going to love this moment. They're going to love this moment. But to see that moment, yeah, okay, they weren't
iconic. Yeah.
Iconic.
You know,
oh, man.
Speaking of Angelina, I'm thinking about the rice. And on this season, they're not giving players any rice. And you know, when I first heard that they were going to do that, like I had thought back to, you know, in your season where I kind of feel like that it's a little broken where that when they give the players the rice and, you know, I'm thinking like, what's stopping the player? The players should just eat all the rice and then they're going to give you more. What do you think of the idea to have them not give any rice?
Just because I am a fan of going back to the basics and Survivor being hard and struggle, I like it. I like seeing us be at our wit's end and having to deal with that. I mean, I'm thankful for Angelina for getting us that rice, but if we didn't have that rice, you know, we would have been able to tough it out. I think we would have saw, you know, even some fun moments, mm-hmm. you know, of us being deprived and pushing ourselves further. But I'm not too off on them getting the rice. Now, the thing that I am off on them doing, I hear that they may have given them swimwear this season. Now, I haven't seen it myself, but if they did indeed get swimwear, then that's definitely not a harder Survivor season because having a change of clothes goes far.
Okay. So I had seen a lot of articles about how they were not gotten their bathing suits. And it was like people were saying like, look, this is actually like a health issue of not having the bathing suits. I know you guys didn't have it because Tyler Perry said that's not such a hot idea.
Come on, TP. Come on, man. Work with me, Tyler.
Mike White wouldn't suggest something like that.
No, he would not, man. Especially not with the White Lotus. You know, you got to have those swim trunks and have that, you know.
So Tommy Guam says, let me ask two of my questions into one. What has a better chance, Davey being in a second season of Survivor or Davey being in season two of The White Lotus?
I think the former, me being in another season of Survivor. I mean, guys, I thought about the whole acting route, but I think I'm more safe. I don't know. Maybe I feel more comfortable in the voice acting route than the actual acting route, you know?
Okay, so maybe if there's an animated White Lotus.
If there's an animated White Lotus, and you know, Mike has done some animated features, so hopefully he'll think about me when he does his next
one. And Alec was good in that.
Alec was so good in that, man. I hung out with them last month for my birthday. It's kind of become a tradition that I'll go out to San Diego for my birthday weekend. My best friend lives out there, and Kara, Alec, and Natalia and Angelina live out there. Yeah. So I'll hang out with them, and he was just giving me all the behind the scenes stuff, man. He really did his thing. I can't wait to see what else is next for him.
Okay. What about you with voice acting?
Oh man, dude, voice acting's been coming pretty good for me this year. I have booked a few gigs. I booked a gig with Spotify last month for my McDonald's commercial. So if you guys are listening to Spotify and you hear a McDonald's commercial or a Best Buy commercial, that might be my voice. You may be able to identify it. So I've been booking good gigs with pay-per-plays and things like that, but I still need some type of management. Hopefully once this Netflix hits and they see what kind of, you know, see what range I have out there and how charismatic I am, some people will start reaching out to me and I'll be able to do more with it. But I think I'm in a good place for it now. I'm here in Atlanta where there's a lot of opportunities here. So, sky's the limit. I'm real big on manifesting things. Yeah. And I want to be able to manifest some secure work when it comes to voice acting in my future.
So I'm interested in, because I don't really know a lot about that business. How do people find you? Do you have to apply for are there like people that are looking for like voice actors, or do people find your stuff?
So, I mean, to be progressive, you have to kind of reach out to these talent agencies. They have applications where you can apply. You know, you'll give them your credentials, and if they want to work with you, they'll tell you, I mean, you'll give them your demo and all of that type of thing. If they want to work out with you, then they'll reach out to you. But who knew that voice acting was such a saturated, career field. So, you know, I'm still working at it, but you know, we're manifesting it, and hopefully I'll find the right representation here in Atlanta to where I can go mainstream.
Yeah. Now, do you mostly read as yourself, or do you do any voices?
Yeah, I don't really do impersonations like JD and Reem
or characters.
Our characters. I mean, I have a bit of a range where I can do deep voice, high voice, my voice. I could do that here and there. I'll try to do accents. I can do kind of a, please don't ask me to do it right here, Rob, but I can do a bit of a Jamaican accent or you know, an island accent here or there. But as far as that, I'm still working on my craft, and I take voice acting courses. So hopefully, you know, in the long run, I'll be able to have more range with it.
Cool. Yeah. So here's a question from Tommy Guam, who says, Tommy Guam had another question that what has Davey thought about Jeff saying no returnee season for a while? Davey is the number one person that I want to see in another season. Now, you said it's more likely that you'd be back on Survivor than in the White Lotus, too. But Jeff said, OK, we're done with the pre-season 40 people for a while.
You know what? You know what, Rob? I'm going to shock everyone. Like, it doesn't bother me that much, only because, we're going into this new era of Survivor. It's a new game. It's 26 days. I wouldn't mind them, you know, rebranding and making it this new thing. Hey, I got to play Survivor. I got to have my dream. My dream come true. Of course, I didn't win the million, but I mean, I got to do it. And that's one thing about me. And one thing about other Survivor players, I see a lot of Survivor players who get too cool for Survivor and they can't post about it. They can't go on the podcast. They can't do cameos. Well, I'm not that guy. I get to live Survivor every day of my life. Yeah. I'm going to tweet too much about it. If you don't like it, you don't like it. So, I mean, I'd be okay with it. But, I mean, I would love to come back.
Yeah.
And I don't think that Jeff is going to double, you know, he said he wasn't going to have a Winners at War, and that happened. I think that in the future, maybe not in the next four seasons, but he's definitely going to drop back. And maybe that's a way to bring 39 Days back whenever we have a returning season.
Yeah, I can't see that. Like, look, maybe like if they were going to retire like the old guard of like, you know, a lot of the people that, you know, have played like, you know, the Robs and Sandras and Barbie. And, you know, like I understand it's like, okay, well, that's but. You know, there's so many people from the 30s that, you know, didn't really get a second chance to play that. There's no way that they say like, okay, drop the first 40 seasons. We're only going to cast all stars from the last four seasons that we've had.
Right, man. Hey, even if they want to go as far as to give us, you know how the challenge has challenged our stars on Paramount? If they want to go as far as to throw us on Paramount, that'd be cool.
Okay, do a Survivor season with the only on CBS. You could see new players, and we're gonna put the All Star seasons on Paramount Plus.
I'd be down for that, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. What's the difference? Where you have MTV is airing new seasons, but they have like some seasons on Paramount Plus. There was some talk about. At one point that there were going to be three Survivor seasons that they were going to shoot in a year they were like talking about that. I wonder if something like that would be like, hey, two seasons for CBS and one for Paramount Plus.
Yeah, do it. I mean, we see that it's possible with MTV. They're all under the same, you know, umbrella. Let's say, why not? Let's start the petition, man.
I never even thought about this before this conversation, Davey.
Hey, man, let's do it, man. Start the petition.
Okay. Davey, Weed Fiend, a.k.a. 420 Pound It on Twitter, says, hey, Davey, love you so much. You're seriously my favorite Survivor of all time.
Warms my heart.
Yeah. So do you think that this season is going to come down to a good old David versus Goliath? We have a lot of underdogs as well as people in great positions.
If you're talking about epicness, probably not. But I mean, yeah, I could see it coming down to, you know, I don't know, man. Maybe. I don't know. I don't really see too many people. I don't really see anyone as like a Goliath per se, though, other than maybe physically Danny. Most of these people seem to be more David oriented than anything. So, yeah, I don't think we're going to see that.
Okay. And then Davey. My last question for you, Megan Scanlon says, when Rob put out the form asking the patrons who we wanted to hear from this season, I noticed several people said Davey was at the top of their list. How does it feel to be so loved?
Man, it feels amazing, Rob. And I got to tell you, like, I was not able. I mean, I've always been able to be myself, but playing Survivor and seeing the response from the fans about me being myself allowed me to blurt out loud, so to speak. Like, look at me. I'm freaking Ash Ketchum on a podcast right now. I would never do something like that before Survivor for my friends to see me online somewhere. And what the hell is this?
Yes.
You know, like I can do this out loud now and post it to my story and get great response from it. So I say all that to say, be careful, guys, when you're saying these things to these players, you know. JD, you know, he did his best out there, you know. Don't be cruel to the contestants. Because we go out there and we give it our all and we give ourselves you know, we're ourselves, and having response from the fans matters. And I'd say all that to say is I really appreciate it, guys.
Yeah. All right. Davey's got a lot going on. Okay. We got the TikTok at I Hate Davey.
Yes, man. And I got to apologize, guys. I don't hate myself. Let me explain the I Hate Davey thing. So, and I don't know if this is a Black culture thing or not, but when something is very funny, we will say, oh my God, we will laugh and say, oh my gosh, I hate you. As in, stop making me laugh so much. You're making my stomach hurt. Mm-hmm. So that's what that is a nod to. It's just a play on words. I don't hate myself. Don't worry, guys. Everything's fine.
You could still follow. Even if you love Davey, you could still follow.
Exactly.
Yes.
Funny thing, that was my name on Instagram at one point, and Allison's mother was in my comments after every picture. Was like, why do you hate yourself? So I changed it.
Yeah.
I changed it on Instagram for Allison's mother, who, shout out to Allison, she's getting married soon.
Oh, shout out Dr. Allison.
Yes, man.
Yes, another North Carolina survivor.
Yeah, man. Gosh, dude, you got, whenever you guys get ready to have another,
live
know-it-alls,
yeah.
Hey, yeah. That's a good spot for it.
Well, I thought about doing one here as like so that my housewarming party.
That would be dope, dude. I'd definitely be there. You know, I'm driving.
Okay. All right. Well, we got to look into the venue here, but maybe that might be a good place for when we come back for a live show. And then, Davey, what else do you have going on besides TikTok?
TikTok. I mean, we got this Steve Harvey event thing that's going to happen. We got the event Wednesday. Make sure you guys go to the link in my bio to RSVP for that. I got a lot of cosplays coming, you know, stay posted on my Instagram. I don't know what I'm going to be for Halloween just yet.
Yes.
But I've got about 3 or 4 builds that I'm juggling and trying to figure out. You guys see my Game of Thrones build right here is one of my favorites. This is Sir Beric Dondarrion from Game of Thrones.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Davey, when you talk about your builds, what do you mean by that?
I mean, a build is basically just a new cosplay that you might be working on. Like, I've got this Ash Ketchum right now. I hope whenever I purchase a home that I'll be able to have the mannequin stand-ins where I can just
a museum. Put my
Yeah. I could like the Batcave. I can have my own Batcave where I could have my cosplays right there displayed for me, and I could just pick them up and go on out in the world.
Davey, why Beric Dondarrion out of all of the Game of Thrones characters?
He was so cool with his freaking eye patch and his sword that would light up. It was just something that I knew that would hit. And I went to watch Game of Thrones finale at a live event that also was a costume contest.
Yeah.
And I thought, what in this costume contest could I get the crowd going at? And so when I got out there and my sword lit up.
Oh, you had the flaming sword too?
It didn't actually light up.
Right? Oh.
I had like orange and red papers in my hand and I did it. And it went everywhere.
Yeah.
But I won the contest. So, hey, man. So Barry did it for me.
Yes. Compared to the Game of Thrones finale, people are like, yes, oh, this is much better.
Right.
We love this. We love the paper fire sword. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, Davey, I really appreciate you coming on and making time to do this. And again, you know, people love hearing from you. So it's such a treat for everybody, especially me.
Dude, it always seems like whenever I come on, it's the perfect episode for me to talk about. Like last time it was Island of the Idols and Jamal had, it was the whole do-rag incident.
Oh, okay.
And I shed some light on that. This time I was able to, you know, just uplift two beautiful black women and Liana and Chantel and just speak about their experience. And then Netflix, it happened. And,
yeah, we didn't have no idea that was
going to happen. This was not planned, guys.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, Rob, anytime, man, whenever you need me here, I'm there. And, dude, whenever you get ready to do that thing in North Carolina, let me know. That's right down where I'm from.
Okay. All right. Well, Davey, thank you so much. And everybody go check out Davey on TikTok. And, Davey, we'll talk to you again soon, okay?
Sounds good, man.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Davey Rickenbacker. And this interview with Davey was sponsored by our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. I bet it could be hard work, but you know it's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com and get a quote. See how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Really fun interview with Davey today. I very much enjoyed that, and I hope that you did, too. I'm going to be coming back on Friday with another podcast, J.E. Skeets from the No Dunks podcast, No Buffs Survivor podcast. He will be joining me for a special podcast coming up on Friday. And of course, Haley Strong will be here on the feedback show. So get your feedback questions in. And then the Wand Off is back on Monday. So a lot still to do this weekend. Then over on Nothing But Netflix, I'll be talking about season 3 of the Netflix series You. We have that coming up. Plus, we'll be guessing listener ages on Robin Akiva Need a Podcast. So it's going to be a jam-packed weekend of podcasting coming up. And be sure to check out all of our other Survivor podcasts in the Survivor podcast feed. The B&B, YX Lost, Survivor Global with Shannon Gus, and the Survivor Stock Watch with Taryn Armstrong. And I'll be back on Monday night to take your patron questions with Kevin and Nigel. That's going to be at 7 p.m. Eastern for the patrons. robiswebsite.com/patron, and we have patron orientation coming up Tuesday night, the 26th. So I hope to see you there if you are one of our new patron members. robiswebsite.com/patron. Thank you so much for watching. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work, but you know it's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com and get a quote and see what you can save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.